This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the WRMJ studio, the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios.
I was going to say, do not forget that.
Sorry, Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio. I'll say that fast five times. Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. I should have, he should make us do the homework question about the Colonel, where that came from, but we'll talk about that later. Hey, be careful this morning on the sidewalks, in the driveways, man. A little treacherous with this kind of freezing drizzle, the air temperature right around the freezing mark. All right, we've been doing this since 1979 with this, when the station signed on. By the way, I talked to John Hoscheid earlier this week. I was driving, talking to him through my Bluetooth, and it was nice to catch up with him. And all he wanted to know about, folks, here's John Hoscheid. All he wanted to know about was the local high school sports scene.
Hey, who hosted the first sports line in 1979?
It would have been John Hoscheid.
John, because you started in 1990.
Yeah, awesome. It was John Hoscheid. Wow. So I kind of segued in eventually in 1990.
And hopefully we're able to live up to his expectations.
Well, he still listens, so yeah. That's awesome. But anyway, we've talked about this a couple times this year. I say environment matters. Yeah. I say, Friday nights still matter. I say home crowds matter if they come out. And I said it on the broadcast last night that, an engaged student body I thought was pretty impressive tonight. You had a lot of kids in the student section for Mirko. Awesome. A lot of kids in the band. Awesome. And then you had the kids that play basketball last night. So you had a lot of students there interacting.
And the cheerleaders and the dance team.
And the cheerleaders and the dance team. That's right. So I don't know what the percentage of the students that were involved. And I thought it was great, all in good fun last night. The students kind of were giving it a little bit to Rockridge, and that's the way you're supposed to when you're playing an arch rival like that. And then it was a Hall of Fame crowd. And I think that's awesome when maybe people haven't been to a game for a while and they come to a game and they see that type of performance and that type of atmosphere and entertainment. Yeah. I thought was awesome. Well done, Dustin Murray and the Mercer County staff that put on the Hall of Fame night. And well done to the – so you talk about like having to fill in for John Hoscheid with Sportsline.
Yeah.
What about filling in for John Hoscheid, master of ceremonies for Hall of Fame night?
It was 8 minutes. That's what I had in time. I said, I'm going to keep this as short as possible because I remember my senior year of high school, I believe we played on the road at three Hall of Fame nights, three, and that was miserable. So our friends from Rockridge, I did my best because I know nobody wants to sit through that, and I tried to keep it as quick as possible. 8 minutes is pretty good, I think. They told him to expect 15, and I said, I'm going to get this. I was talking to Coach Henry before the game, and he said, yeah, right, 15 minutes. I said, I'm going to do my best to keep it under, and I was able to do that. But, yeah, and talking about the crowd last night, I mean, you know, and we've talked about this a lot in terms of, you know, the switch of conferences for Mirko. It's a lot easier to get people to come to the game when you're playing Rockridge instead of Galva or Weathersfield or Rova or, you know, it just is. And you're playing a high-quality program and you're playing a high-quality team, and there's, you know, some sort of history there with playing the school that's, you know, what, 15, 20 miles away.
And may I add something? And if you upset the leader of the LTC conference or upset the leader of the track, what does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, with doesn't
the,
matter.
The, yeah, wait, I mean, that was, you beat an elite basketball power last night in Rock Ridge that has been at the top. And we can get into the game momentarily here, but I know Rock Ridge playing shorthanded, but still the way the Eagles, you know, kind of controlled the flow of that game last night, I thought was really impressive. And we talked about that team earlier this year, especially this group this year, not how they played at the beginning of the season. It's how they play at the end of the season. Now, if they can replicate that, what they did last night, how they handled the ball, finished with 6 turnovers, and made big plays when the game was on the line, because I think the Rockets got within 3 with 2:51 left to play. I think it was 39-36. And then to close out the game 12 of 12 from the line, and they finished 15 of 16, the Golden Eagles did. I mean, I thought just a flawless performance for them last night, because I was talking, you know, a little bit on the broadcast last night, and I was thinking about some of the great games down on that floor that I've been a part of. Now, it's a regular season game, but, you know, I was thinking about Nick Bull played on the Aledo team. Of course, that's Landon Bull's dad. That beat Yorkwood, who was like 28-0 or 29-0 in the regional semifinals the 1 year, 1995 or 96. And then, of course, the Pat Lower shot against Westmore, I say probably is the best game ever played in that gym. And Nick Bull played in the other one. And that was a great regular season game last night for Mercer County. Now, I don't know how much of you watched it, because I saw you talking to Chase and Colin Schweigen for most of the night. What were their observations from the game last night?
It was interesting. So Chase Schweigen said before the game, he said the X factor was Chase Wheatley. He said if Chase Wheatley scores, we'll win, meaning Rock Ridge, and if he doesn't, we'll lose, meaning Rock Ridge. And I know Chase had a few good looks, but didn't get any of them to go. And I think that is kind of one of the things, too, especially with Landon Wheatley not playing last night. Like, they really needed one of those more role pieces to really step up, and they just didn't really get it. And they got good looks, I thought, throughout the night. But, like, early on, like, Chase Wheatley missed a couple of open threes. And then, you know, the kids they brought to the bench, like Chisholm, missed a couple of threes, too. And then when you get to that point where those kids haven't had to play that role, really, I thought they got a little bit, like, gun-shy and weren't really looking to shoot the ball, because I know Mercer County wasn't closing out that hard on some of those kids for Rock Ridge, where they were really loading up on Bull, obviously. I don't think he scored in the first half. Yeah. And same thing with Kunico, where they were really trying to do all they could to take those two away. And it really put pressure on the rest of the Rock Ridge kids, who normally, when Wheatley's also playing, don't have that amount of pressure to score the basketball. And like you said, I was really impressed how Mercer County really controlled the pace of that game, because how Rock Ridge has played recently, they've really tried to get out and transition a lot, especially like when Bull get a defensive rebound, he tries to push it. And you, like you talked about, Mercer County took care of the ball really well. I think maybe gave up 4 transition points the whole night. It felt like, I think Rock Ridge got out and got 2 layups in the second half. But, and that's the thing too, when you talk about the shot clock coming in, like if there was a shot clock last night, that game would have looked a lot different, because Mercer County had a ton of possessions that were like 45 seconds, a minute plus, and they scored on them. Yeah. Where when you're, and I even think still with Wheatley out, Mercer County still is the underdog in that game, where when you're the team that maybe isn't as talented from top to bottom, when you're able to lengthen the possessions and score, you're shortening the game. And when you're trying to upset a team, the less possessions, the better, right? Because it gives Rock Ridge 100% less chances to you know, pull away or whatever. And I said to Chase and Colin last night, there was like 4 minutes left in the game, and with how long some of those possessions were, I said to them, like, Rock Ridge has to score on every possession the rest of this game to win the game. And that's what it felt like. It just felt like it was weird, because to me, Rock Ridge's margin for error was so slim last night as that game rolled on, where you'd think it would be the other way around because of how Mercer County was able to just kind of control the pace of the game and hold on to the ball and take care of the ball too, where a lot of the times you see when teams try to play that, you know, patient offense against a really good opponent who plays really good defense like Rock Ridge does, they just end up holding the ball for a while but turning it over and not getting a shot off. But for Mercer County, the whole nine, they were really efficient from the field, it felt like, too, and then from the free throw line. And on the other side for Rock Ridge, they just never got like the big basket, when they would get it within 1 or 2 or 3 points and had the ball, they just were never able to score on that possession. And I think the weirdest possession in that game was in this fourth quarter. I think it was a 3-point game when it happened. They got a steal. Kunikko missed a layup. Chase Wheatley missed a layup. And I think they got another steal. They missed three layups.
And that was the same possession where they missed 2 free throws and got the rebound.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. It was just one of those really weird nights for them where, I mean, it felt like nothing went right the whole game. And in the first quarter, Baylen Lehman's got 2 fouls. And I just thought for Rock Ridge, they had to avoid getting in foul trouble last night because there was virtually no bench with Landon Wheatley not playing. I mean, a lot of the times for them, they play 6 guys. And when they have five available, basically, where they had to go to the bench and needed big minutes from some of those guys that really haven't had to give it to them throughout the year. So, really interesting night last night.
But I thought, because I think it was the McKay kid that hit the three.
I thought they're going to win the game now.
Because that he made the three that cut it to 39-36, I think, if I remember correctly.
I think it was earlier than that.
Was it?
Yeah. But it was a 6-point game, and Carson Mullins almost stole the pass, but it went through his hands and got through, and he hit the three. And I'm like, that's the break that Rockridge needed. But I was wrong.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, so you talk about the possession. So Mercer County, I know their first possession of the game was 1:10, and they scored.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing, if, you know, you look at the game last night, and if you didn't see it, they weren't stalling. They were just moving the basketball, looking for the best. They executed, you know, it's one thing to have a game plan. It's another thing to execute the game plan. So, you know, offensively, they did a great job of, you know, basically the three primary ball handlers last night, you know, had the basketball in their hand probably 80% of the night, and that's McPeak and DeMuth and Carson Bolins. And I thought their passing last night in the first half was so brilliant with what they got. That set up some, you know, great hoops. And then also you look at defensively what Mercer County did last night, and it was great. When I was talking to Coach Sedam before the game, you know, talking about, well, what do we do to try and limit this team? And he referred to the Bob Anderson story, the longtime Williams Field Hall of Fame coach that is well known to devise these junk defenses. And I thought, you know, Mirko last night playing that triangle in two against Rock Ridge was very effective. I think the Rockets had more success maybe in the second half, you know, because I thought, and even Coach Harris, you know, said on the post game last night that I just didn't think Rock Ridge last night in the first half really was playing with much energy or much spark.
I said that too, that it looked like they were just sleepwalking.
Yeah,
early.
And then in the second half, you could tell, you know, I think, you know, basically every possession in the second half, Landon Bull said, we're not losing this game. I want to give me the ball. I'm going to get to the hoop. You know, he just barreled to the hoop. But I think the triangle and two, and I'm surprised, you know, more teams, when you're the underdog, more teams don't throw out these junk defenses to try and do something differently. Now, we know key.
You got to execute them, because if you just throw that out there, then you can get shredded.
Well, and the other thing, the other huge key is you have to get off to a good start against these good teams, because, you, like you said, you throw it out the window if you get off to a poor start. Right. So the Eagles got up to a 7-0 lead, and it's a little bit easier to execute and stay on the page of the game plan when you're leading. And can you believe that in that game, 32 minutes last night, Mercer County did not trail in that game once last night?
I can't. That is crazy. And we talked about this when Sherrard beat Rockridge earlier in the season, but like for Mercer County, they hadn't beat Rockridge in an even longer time span than Sherrard. I mean, it was like coming up on 3,000 days. I think it was like 2017 was the last time Mercer County beat them. And I mean, a lot of those games have been...
Well, they should have beat them last year in the regionals.
A lot of those games have been like blowouts and over in 2 minutes, you know, like that's the thing that is just impressive. And like we talked about earlier, beating Rockridge, it means something. And like on the Rockridge side of things, you know, you're a great program. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a high school team get the court stormed on them three times in a season?
Oh, yeah.
Sherrard did it twice and Mercer County did it. Man. Yeah. So I guess that's a tip of the cap to what that program is and represents.
Who was the kid that brought the flag out last night?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, so exciting. Yeah, just a great atmosphere last night. And So from a Mirko standpoint, got to keep it rolling, man. They play Camp Point Central today, and then they got Riverdale. Is that their next league game? Is that
then
up Sherrard. There? Is that Riverdale Friday or here?
They're at Riverdale.
Yeah, so that's a nice test for the Eagles. And if they win today, is that 5 in a row?
Yeah.
So nice little streak by them. And again, man, if they play like that, wow, they got a chance. I mean,
the thing about it, though, and I kept saying this to Chase last night, it felt like Mercer County was playing perfect and Rock Ridge was playing awful. And you look and up and it's like a 2-point game in the fourth quarter. Like I said, you know what I mean?
When it got within 3 with 2:51 left to play, I said this. And that's why, Mercer County closed out that game last night. And then also staying with Mercer County, so, man, it must be me because I went to the back-to-back games. I went up to Riverdale Thursday night. Was that Thursday night or
Wednesday? Hold on. If you're going to – don't switch to girls basketball yet because there's still more to talk about.
Okay, because I want to talk about that game.
So, Sherrard won last night. They are now, I think, one game away from clinching a share of the title. And then if they win next week against Monmouth and Orion loses to Rock Ridge, they would win the Track West outright in boys basketball.
Yeah, and that was a great game last night.
41-38. Sherrard got down 8-0 early, tied at 20-20 at halftime, and then they win 41-38. Ryland Carton hit a game-winning shot with like 2.3 on the clock to break a 38-38 tie. He had 23 points. Tigers now 22-3, 7-1 in the conference. They are one win away from matching the school record for single-season wins, 2 wins away from breaking that. So they've had a really special year, and they're having a year or two where it feels like just every night they find a way to win, no matter what's going on in the game. They just have found a way to win in a lot of different ways throughout the season, which I think is a great sign for their postseason prospects, I think. Those kids, they know how to win, and they pull it out more times than not. So another nice win for them last night. It's just been a really fun year in the track. Everybody feels like pretty good, and feels like every week there's 3 great conference games every Friday night. It's been a lot of fun, and that was the case last night too. So 22-3, I mean, what a year for Sherrard so far.
And then I don't know how many ties there were in that game last night, because it was primarily after that 8-0 run. It was kind of like 14-14, 21-21, 31-31.
Sherrard had an 11-0 run at one point in the first half, too, so that they kind of traded that, and then it was felt like it was back and forth within a possession like the whole rest of the game, I think.
And then, of course, that comes after the loss to Orion, and it's just in terms of, like, the postseason route this year where you're really looking at some potential tremendous matchups from the semifinals to the regional championship to get to the sectional, because there are some good teams, and you're seeing that here late in the season, that can end a magical season.
Yeah.
The level of basketball, on the track west is – really good. And
yeah, like every year there's 4 teams in that 6-team league that are in a regional championship game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the standard is. And that's the thing too, I like for Mercer County's prospects this year too, is like normally the second half of their schedule traditionally has been a bunch of teams that are not good, and like a bunch of teams that are not good in 1A that they play. And I just have thought like that has kind of hindered their postseason runs, because you have no clue what you're going to be up against. You go from playing, like we said earlier, Galva, Weathersfield, United, to now, normally the first team they played in the postseason was the best team they've played in 2 months, where that's not going to be the case this year. I think they're going to be much more well-equipped with the schedule they've played to make a run in the postseason moving forward, because of, how much better the track is than the Lincoln Trail, of course. So, yeah, I'm excited for the postseason. It should be a lot of fun, I think, coming up in a couple of weeks for sure.
And then Orion played shorthanded last night, too, very shorthanded, because they played without Kyler Owens, but able to beat Monmouth Roseville. And then, so a key conference game next week will be Orion and Rock Ridge. Is that game? That game's where's that game at?
That'll be at Rock Ridge.
Yeah, that'll be
Orion won 60-50. They didn't play. They played without Kyler Owens, so it'll be interesting next Friday when those teams play. Like we talked about, Rock Ridge didn't have Landon Wheatley last night, and then Orion didn't have Kyler Owens. So hopefully, obviously, they're both okay, because they're both huge pieces to their teams, and both great players too. And I hope everybody's healthy for the postseason, so we can really have some of these fun battles at full strength.
Well, and speaking about Landon Wheatley, the one thing that I hope it's in talking to Coach Harris, I think he said tendonitis maybe in the knee. So it doesn't sound serious, but it is a knee, and I just remember his sophomore year, the great play he made late in that game against Rockford Lutheran, and he got injured and didn't get a play then in the state semifinals. And I say that year, if he would have played in the state semifinals that year, I think the Rockets would have had a really legitimate shot to play in the state title.
I think they would have won.
Yeah.
They just ran out of gas in the fourth quarter that day against Bloomington Central Catholic because they were just shorthanded. But I agree. They would not have beat
because he played so well in the postseason that year. And he didn't get that opportunity. So hopefully he heals up and gets to play here down the stretch in the postseason. And Kyler Owens' injury is it a stress fracture?
I don't know what the specific injury is, but it's an ankle injury.
Yeah, so hopefully he comes back because he's a game changer, and hopefully both those players are playing.
It's impressive
next
Oregon still won without him because he scores
what was the
22
margin?
A game, 60-50.
And was that game in Monmouth
It was at Orion.
Yeah, well, the Chargers are rolling, and that's going to be because the seeding's taking place
Thursday,
this week, so
Thursday.
That's going to be interesting.
22-5. Okay, so before we talk a little bit of girls basketball stuff, because it was kind of a busy week on that side of things, you talked about the postseason seeding. So the boys' seeding is out Thursday. The boys' postseason brackets are out Friday coming up this week. So we're going to do an exercise. We did this last year, and you made a mockery of it, so I hope you did it for real this time.
I did?
Yeah, because last year you really made me mad because you did it, and then you put Mercer County 2, and you said the reason you put him 2 is because you live in the school district, so you just ruined the integrity of the thing, because that, of course, has nothing to do with how the teams are going to be seeded. So, with that, we're going to do this exercise again where we're each going to seed the local boys basketball subsectional. It's 11 teams. Here are the teams that make it up. Mercer County, Canton, Farmington, Kewaunee, Knoxville, Macomb, Monmouth, Roseville, Orion, Alleman, Sherrard, and Rock Ridge. So those were the 11 teams. We're going to seed them 1 through 11. You can go ahead and go first. Let's see if you...
Do I have to include the argument for why I do it or
yes,
not?
Yes, if you want. Go ahead.
I go Sherrard 1 because of what you just elaborated, and I did this before the show started. I did Sherrard 1, and you just basically argued why they deserved to be number
right.
1. And I'm still going with Rock Ridge 2. They beat Orion head-to-head. They slammed West Hancock at the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament. Their strength of schedule is beyond reproach, so they get 2. I'm going Orion 3, and this is where you only can possibly say I'm making a mockery of it.
I will not say that.
Well, I just say body of work in the league they're playing in and the schedule they've played. Now, I wish the seeding would be done after Friday's game, but you can't have it that way. That's the way the regional seating is, or the subsectional seating is for the IHSA. I go Macomb 4. I go Canton 5. Now, Canton, I don't know a lot about their body of work, but they did beat East Peoria, who beat Rock Ridge at full strength by, 10 or 11 or something like that day?
15.
Yeah. So that's a nice that Canton's a wild card. But I would think they'll be, if they're not a top 4 seed, they're going to be playing at the Macomb regional, and that's a team you have to look at seriously as a team that can knock you off. I have the Eagles 6 after last night, specifically. Kewaunee 7, don't know much about them, just, you know, some of their basketball pedigree. Monmouth-Roseville 8. Now, Monmouth-Roseville and Kewaunee played head-to-head, right?
Yes, and Monmouth-Roseville beat
them. Then I should have switched that around.
That's okay.
I apologize.
You can if you want. That's fine.
No.
They beat them by 10.
I'll still stay 7, okay. Kewaunee, Monmouth-Roseville 8, Farmington 9, Alleman 10, Knoxville 11. And then the regional host, again, are Mercer County, get a play on their home floor, and the Macomb High Bombers would be on their home floor. So that means with Sherrard and Macomb... Right,
for you.
They would play in the same venue, and Rock Ridge and Orion would play in the same venue, right?
For you, yes, they would. So for me, I have Sherrard 1. I think they're an unequivocal number 1. You can't argue against it. They swept Rock Ridge. They have the win over Diet. They play in a very good league and have played a very tough schedule. There's no doubt they should be unanimously number 1. I have Rock Ridge 2 as well, and I know they've lost some games, but if you look at the schedule they've played, I mean, I think just about everybody in that subsection would have about 8 losses if they've played Rock Ridge's schedule. I mean, it's like you said, it's incomparable to everybody else, the level of teams they've played and just the pedigree of the program. I think that means something. They, you know, win a regional every year, so I still think they should be seated second. I have Macomb 3 ahead of Orion at 4. I think those two are interchangeable. I do think Orion, though, they have the weird loss to Ridgewood. It was the first week of the season, and they came back the next week and beat them by 40 or so, but I still think that'll keep them below Macomb, although I could see them flipping because Macomb's strength of schedule is much weaker in terms of the in-conference games that they play in the Prairie Land. I also have Canton seeded 5th because of their win over East Peoria. I saw them play at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament too, and they've got some nice-looking athletes, so I have them 5. I have Mercer County up to 6 this week as well. I have Monmouth-Roseville 7 after they beat Kewaunee. Kewaunee at 8, Farmington at 9, Alleman at 10, and Knoxville at 11. I don't know if anyone's followed Knoxville, but they're going to go 0-32. Yeah, they like last night they lost to Galva by 42 points. Galva.
I just cannot believe that with what their heritage has been in boys basketball over the years to be a team that's going to finish 0-32.
And they very well may go 0-32.
And you said they got beat how bad by Galva?
42. It was like 87-45.
And there's been a lot of margins like that.
Oh yeah.
For them.
Yeah, like in the Lincoln Trail they get beat by 30 every night by all of those teams. I mean, it's been not a good year for them. And like I know next year, I think it's going to be pretty similar. It is weird, though, with the history of that program, how it's just fallen off a cliff. I mean, because they were really good 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago now. But I think 3 years, 3 years ago, they were pretty good.
But I think, too, the configuration with the mixture of the 1-4s, how those are divided up with the regional hosts, and it'd be interesting to ask the coaches, would you rather play – do you like the Macomb venue better, or do you like playing at Mercer County better?
It will be interesting because with Rockridge losing last night to Mercer County, and yes, they were shorthanded, I think that really opens up 2, 3, and 4 because the top four seeds are set who they're going to be: Sherrard, Rockridge, Macomb, and Orion. No one has a chance, I think, to overtake any of them from 5 through 12. But the order of 2, 3, and 4 is up in the air, I think, a little bit. Now Macomb plays Rock Falls today, which is a chance for them to get a nice win. Orion plays Geneseo, which, you know, they should beat them pretty handily. And then
at the Battle of Henry County,
Rockridge plays Rock Island, which will be very challenging, but I don't think you should take much of a seed and get into 2A if you lose to Rock Island. So,
but the only argument I have on this, and I don't know, because we don't cover the Mid-Illini, you know, with the league that Canton plays in, are they worthy of a top four consideration? I don't know. I mean, that's an impressive win over East Peoria.
They got beat by Macomb pretty handily.
They did get okay. They
by
got
like
beat
17.
Okay, then that's probably then they're not a top.
And they lost to Monmouth Roseville too earlier in the season.
And then they beat East Peoria by 15.
So I do not believe they should overtake anybody top four. So,
and I haven't been following their Mid-Illini. What the record is in that league, because that's a good basketball.
Yeah, it is great. Yeah,
and that's why, you know, running into, because they'll be at, if they're not a top four seed, they're going to play at the regional that's closest to them. So they're playing in Macomb, and I'm telling you that's a team with the schedule they play. I would not want have to play in the regional semifinals.
They're kind of a wild card, yeah. So I'm interested to see how it shakes out, because like you said, just for the listener who maybe doesn't know, the way it works is the teams that get seeded in the subsectionals, 1, 2, 3, and 4 get split up across the two regionals. So traditionally, you know, the seeds 1 and 4 will get sent to the same regional. The seeds 2 and 3 go to the same regional, the other one, and then everybody else just gets filtered to their closest geographical site. So that's how it works.
Yeah, and I know the IHSA is considering the situation where, you know, basically seeding the entire sectional going forward, and then basically the higher seeds would host until a sectional hosted, but that hasn't been decided
yet.
That
would be interesting.
Yeah. So, well, like, because we talked about the one sectional downstate that has like 8 teams in it there to run, you know, like top 20. But yeah, so that's the seed, they do the seeding, is it
Thursday is when it's
comes done. Out,
yeah,
and then the pairings come
out. I don't
out
know when they vote, though. That's the other thing.
Well, and there have been a couple times, too, and this is the other thing that really makes me angry. There have been a couple of years where some of the coaches have not seeded.
Yeah.
And it's normally those coaches that are having terrible years. And my opinion is there should be consequences and repercussions if that happens. You have to see that. That just takes so much away from this opportunity, and that makes me mad when a coach does not seed, and there should be some type of penalty.
I agree, because when you're good, you want everybody to do it the right way. So when you're bad, you should do it the right way. Because I know last year in the local subsectional, Knoxville didn't seed it, and I think that's ridiculous. And you know, you see what that program is now. So that's what I have to say about that. So you want to talk about some girls basketball stuff?
Well, yeah, and you know, kind of a crazy. And again, we look at some of these comparative scores this year, and we talked about it in football too. That maybe it's just about matchups now, where it's head-to-head competition, and clearly it is, because how can you make it make sense where Sherrar loses by 26 at full strength to Riverdale, and Mercer County loses early in the week to Orion. Yeah. Orion's down 28-4 to Rock Ridge in the first half, and they're given one of their baskets. And then Mercer County loses to Orion.
Yeah,
and then 2 days later, they beat Riverdale. But I went to the game because our youngest daughter's on the girls' basketball team at Mercer County. And, you know the one thing I have watched for them, what I – you know, in terms of JV and varsity basketball, if you watch them play, Coach Hoffman, they're trying to develop this style of play with their offense. And I see what they're running. And the kids are really doing it at all levels when I watch them play. And I think, especially at the varsity level, they have picked up the concepts with this adjustment and how they run their offense. I thought their execution against Riverdale, holy smokes, I thought it kind of resembled what the boys did last night. They just had these immaculate possessions and got basically tremendous looks. And again, here's the other thing. Didn't turn the ball over. When you don't have crooked turnovers, if you're girls or boys, 9 times out of 10, even if you're playing an elite opponent and you hang on to the basketball, you're going to be in the game. And now, that game, Mercer County Riverdale girls basketball, it was senior night for Riverdale. So Coach Hatch started a couple of his seniors that normally don't play, right? So Mercer County took advantage of that, got up to a 9-0 lead. But then he, you know, midway through the quarter, he brought in his top kids, and I think they took an 11-9 lead. Yeah. And then Mercer County got down 6 or 7 a couple times and was able to battle back. And I think Molly Hoffman hit like a runner near half court, or maybe it was inside the circle as time expired.
Oh, wow,
In the first half. I think it was maybe a 2-point basket, but it gave Mirko a 29-28 lead. Mm-hmm. And then the game kind of seesawed back and forth in the second half. But I thought Mercer County got great looks in their half court set. Big win, but now, you know, for both the boys and girls programs, you want to get on this run and play consistent basketball. And both teams, both boys and girls, what? They have the opportunity. They're playing the elite team in the league this week. The boys are playing Sherrar.
Are playing
Riverdale.
Yeah.
And then next week, but I'm saying they have
next
another crack at Sherrar.
Sherrar.
So I'm saying you have a crack at those teams that basically are the favorites. And then, but credit, just like the Rock Ridge boys, credit the Sherrar girls. Regardless, they can lose here or lose there, but still at the end of the year, who are the champs?
Yeah.
The Sherrar Tigers, and they beat, you know, Monmouth Roseville and clinched the title outright after Mercer County upset Riverdale. But, you know, I think a big opportunity here for the Mercer County girls program to see where they fit in, you know, this postseason. Because I look at, you know, they have a win over Monmouth Roseville. They have a win over Riverdale, but they have to prove, can they play against Sherrard?
Right.
And they're going to find that out.
Well, and I think, too, like you talked about Mercer County, the girls, again, that win they got against Riverdale, taking care of the ball. That's been the two things for them that have been such a hindrance have been turnovers. And then, like, throughout the year, they have been excruciatingly bad from the free throw line. But I think in that game against, because they shoot, like, on the season under 50% from the line. And the games where they convert from the line, they win normally. I mean, they've got, like you said, they've really kind of grown, and they're so young. They have, you know, I mean, 3 freshmen that play a lot of minutes at the varsity level and a 4th that plays a little bit too. And you know, like with Leah Collison and Shadea Williams basically play all 32 minutes, right, as freshmen for Mercer County. And Molly Hoffman's had a great year for them, you know, scoring and rebounding too. So they've really grown, and you knew it was going to be quite a process with how the season started and just the difference. Like, if you were to go and watch some of their games from the first couple weeks of the season to now, I mean, it is night and day. Because I remember, like, what I thought the first couple games I saw. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, we're so in over our head with these freshman kids having to play. But they've done such a good job, the kids and the coaching staff, of just progressing. Because I'm sure it could have got really disheartening early when it was just like, you know, the freshman kids are just basically getting the ball taken away from them over and over and over by kids that are 3 years older than them. But they've kept, you know, their heads on straight and have really progressed, I think, really nicely to where they're playing pretty good heading into the postseason. And same thing with Sherrard. I mean, they lost the two games back to back, but I mean, what does that really mean for a program like that? That's, you know, won, what, 10 regionals in the last 13
and it ain't
going to
change moving forward. I mean, they just always, they always win. And he's, you know, and the other thing that to me is, to back up to Mercer County, then I want to say something about Sherrard is, but Mercer County, even late in the season, and you can see what happened with them. Again, looking at the equation this week, again, how this all worked when you look at, like, comparative scores. Again, Sherrard lost by 26 to Riverdale, right? Mercer County beats Riverdale this week. Mercer County loses to Orion this week. Orion was down 28-4 to Rock Ridge 2 days later.
Yeah, and Mercer County just beat Rock Ridge last week by, like, 13 or 15 or
so,
whatever.
Crazy. But the thing of it is, though, when you play young players, that you're going to get that even the rest of the year, because you're still playing, the majority of those kids on that team are freshmen for Mercer County, yeah. And you're going to have those huge pendulum swings like that. But the Collison kid for Mercer County, and a lot of people talk about Shadae Williams, and they should, because an elite player, but Leah Collison, if you watch, you know, basketball played, just in terms of, like, development from start of the year to the end of the year, talking about varsity basketball, mm-hmm. That kid has come, because when you have to handle the ball as a freshman, against juniors and seniors, that is a huge adjustment. And I think her transition this year, and especially it was noticeable where she played all 32 minutes in a knockdown, drag out game up there and had a double double as a freshman. I think, but, you know, huge shout out to her for her development. And when you're that young of age, it can be tough. I mean, trying to figure that out in those type of situations, and you can get your ego bruised. But I want to say something. This is a huge testament to Coach Swanson at Sherrard, right? Because I still say today, when you look at favorites and priorities of kids, and I'm not going to, no rhyme, no reason, and it's not, this is not a criticism about anything. Just the way it is of favorite sports. Most kids' favorite sports at the girls' level are volleyball and softball. Mm-hmm. But they still play basketball. And despite all those priorities, and he's got a lot of multiple sport athletes that maybe their favorite sport is volleyball or their favorite sport is softball, but they still play. And he still has success with that and still makes that work. And that's what I love about what he's been able to do, despite volleyball and softball getting much of the attention and much of the numbers now. He's still been able to have success at a high level despite that. And he's just a class dude. You know, yep. That working with him. I mean, that nice guy can finish first. You can be a nice guy and you can win at a high level. And he's done that. So I'm looking forward to it. I have a kid that plays on the Mercer County program. I want to be in that game this week against Sherrard.
Yeah, I think the first time they played, Sherrard beat him by 20, yeah. I think. So let's see if they can, you know, close the gap a little bit. And that's the other thing I like about the track schedule is you get to play everybody twice, so you get the chance, and you play the elite team, to play them early, and then later in the season, you play them 6 or so weeks later, you get to take a look and say, hey, how much have we closed the gap on this team? And like you see Mercer County, they got the game earlier with Rock Ridge, they got beat by 30 in boys, and then they come back and win on Friday night last night in the second game. So it just is kind of interesting to see how that, and you get, you know, make the adjustments coaching strategy-wise, and then, you know, there's always a lot of randomness with high school basketball too. So it'll be interesting to see Mercer County and Sherrard. Now the regional pairings out for girls basketball. So it's unique because you don't see this very often anymore with the subsectional setup. So the local regional really is like
it's a conference local tournament.
Regional. Yeah. So Orion hosting a regional. It's all of the local schools, basically. Mercer County, Rockridge, Sherrard, Orion, Monmouth, Roseville, and then Kewaunee. It will make up that 16 regional. So the way it goes is that the quarterfinal games are Rockridge playing at Mercer County and then Orion playing at Kewaunee. Those games are Saturday, February 15th. So a week from today is when the girls basketball postseason starts. The winner of Mirco Rockridge plays Sherrard in the semifinals on the 17th. And then the winner of Orion Kewaunee plays Monmouth Roseville on the 17th in the second semifinal. Then the championship Thursday, February 20th. So what do you think of the girls regional? Interesting. If there's a chance Mercer County and Rockridge could play twice in a week.
Yeah,
Mercer County and Sherrard, if Mercer County beats Rockridge.
So the interesting thing to, you know, five of the six Track West teams are in that regional. Yeah. Riverdale, the only team that's not there. I just think Sherrard is the clear-cut favorite, but, you know, with how Mirco's played here late in the season with that win over Riverdale, and then, you know, Scott Weber's been coaching basketball for so long at Monmouth Roseville. Well,
they've won 20 games five years in a row now.
I know you can never count them out, so... Yeah, that's going to be shaping up to be a great, regional championship. And then, you know, the Rockridge-Mercer County games already this year, that'll be an interesting way to start
that
out.
That will be a good game.
Yeah, that's going to be a 7 o'clock Saturday night game. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's on February the 15th at Mercer County. That's considered a play-in game. So, yeah, that'll be fun to follow. And, well, it's hard to believe we're going to already start talking postseason basketball a week from today.
That's how wild. And the boys in a couple weeks start.
Yeah, and then, you know, the wrestling postseason, that's starting today with, I know, Mercer County. And it's always crazy for me how the split is in wrestling. So Mercer County always goes to a different, I mean, about the last 10 years probably, the Mercer County wrestling program always goes south, and they're wrestling today at Canton. And then United, they're in the Canton Wrestling Regional. And then Sherrard, Orion, and Rock Ridge, they'll go up to the Riverdale Wrestling Regional. They feed into the Oregon sectional for the individual, and then Mercer County, if they have any individual qualifiers, would go down to Clinton, Illinois, in the sectional. But it'll be a great story to watch here in the postseason against Jude Finch, with, you know, defending state champ. I know a lot of attention on him moving forward, so good luck to, you know, all the local kids that are wrestling.
And then last week, the girls wrestling postseason started. I think there were five local girls wrestlers in our area that advanced to the sectional, which the girls sectional is next week. So there's like a week in between. A girl from Mercer County advanced, one girl from Rockridge, and then three from Sherrard. So
good.
Yeah, it's cool. Is this the first year girls wrestling has its own postseason in the IHSA? Or
I think last year was the first year. So,
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, and it's a sport gaining in popularity. And it was interesting. I was talking to Katie Hassan last night. And again, I keep forgetting it's her last year as principal at Rockridge. How strange is that going to be?
Yeah,
I
mean, it will be really weird.
And then, of course, her last year then as an IHSA board member. But I asked her if she's heard much conversation about girls flag football, like small schools playing, because this year was the first year that was recognized as a state series sport. And she said, you know, you just have to have bodies to play it. And a lot of these small schools just don't have bodies to play it. But I'm kind of surprised there haven't been some small schools say, hey, we can get 10 kids together, or a movement where, you know, a group of people say, hey, we'd like to start a girls flag football program.
It's just hard because it feels like every girls varsity girls volleyball program has like 40 kids in it, you know what I mean? So it's like I just don't think there's enough numbers.
Yeah, this year when I went to the Mendota Mercer County game, I counted, I think there was like 74 kids among both rosters playing volleyball at three levels. But if kids like playing volleyball, they like playing volleyball.
That's crazy because both those teams were very middle of the pack.
Yeah, well, and like, that's why as just somebody impartial, I would like to see some small schools. I think it'd be fun to cover.
Flag
football, you know, but then facilities and practices, you play on the field and all that. And then, like you said, all the sports you have, you know, some of the, for Orion and Sherrard, you know, they have soccer, so they're dealing with that. And then, you know, a lot of you're dealing with the golf and the cross country and the volleyball already in the fall to try and put another program like that together. Yeah, but anyway, I'd like to see somebody look at that. So
I feel like if one of the schools got here, every one of their games would be up in the suburbs.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It would take a movement of, you know, multiple teams to play the sport. But anyway, so our guest today, by the way, coming up, our interview segment is with Dave Nandengay, who is with Illinois High School Glory Days.com, and he created that site in 2005, celebrated, marked his 20th anniversary earlier this week, and that's the site that memorializes, you know, 1,200 closed or defunct schools, and he just, you know, by a whim started that thing, got some help along the way, and I think he's cataloged and memorialized, you know, 1,200 closed or defunct schools, and he travels a lot to document some of this stuff. I know he swung through Mercer County, and if you've never met Dave Nandengay, he's one of the greatest guys I've met in this business. Just a super great story, and he tells you know, the relationship he has with his autistic son who travels with him. Just he's just really a cool dude, man. And so and everybody that I've, you know, come across that hasn't, you know, had a chance to see that site, once they go to it, they're like, oh man, I always take a deep dive into that thing when they get on the site because of all the information on it. And if you're even from Mercer County and haven't realized about it, Illinois High School GloryDays.com, you know, the Seton Wolves, the Joy Bulldogs, he's got all the information, and then, you know, information on those teams and things like that. It's just pretty, and the school fight song, school colors, it's a walk down memory lane. So okay. Anyway,
and then what did you and Brian talk about?
Well, we talk a lot about calendar, and okay, you know, coming up, we're 3 weeks from Monday is the first day of baseball and softball practice. Yeah.
So, and then just one more thing before we get to Dave Nandengay. So there are a few, like we touched on, the IHSA boys wrestling regionals begin today. Rock Ridge plays at Rock Island in boys basketball. Yeah, we'll have that game 6:30 tip off, 6 o'clock pregame tonight. Mercer County back in action, boys basketball at home against Camp Point Central this afternoon. And then Sherrard has an afternoon boys game
Flanagan today.
They picked up Flanagan Cornell. So that Sherrard trying to get to their 23rd win, which would match the program record, which was set, I believe, by the team that got to state with Eric Lawson and Eric Hutchins, right?
And Brian Brooks.
One other team had 23 for them as well. So that's a chance for them to get that, which would be kind of cool. And then the Lincoln Trail Conference Girls Tournament begins today. It's a new format.
So how many days does it run?
It's 3 days, and you play 2 games.
So Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, or
yeah. So you start only and I guess you can call it a tournament, but only the teams that are seeded 1 through 4 have a chance to win it. So it's not really a tournament because there are 4 of 12 teams
pools.
Can win it. So yeah, so they basically start with the semifinals.
So there's the potential that United could play A-Town for a third time, then maybe. Right?
Correct. United plays Weathersfield and A-Town plays Knoxville in the semifinals today. At Weathersfield.
What did Weathersfield give A-Town a close game or not?
I believe they went to overtime.
Okay.
And A-Town won.
So that's going to be a great story to watch in the girls postseason too, to see if they can get to state with you know, they're still a young team too. So yeah. All right. Anything else headline wise? We got Illini basketball coming up at all this weekend.
I don't think so. I think Tuesday.
Oh, they were off this weekend?
I think
Holy
so.
Smokes. Oh, that's Super Bowl Sunday weekend. So yeah. All right. All right, well, Dave Nandengay coming up with Illinois High School GloryDays.com. Is it about a 6 o'clock broadcast tonight for the Rocks?
Around 6, yeah.
And the Rocks and the Rock Ridge Rockets. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and hear from Dave Nandengay. This is the WMJ Sportsline program from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
One of my favorite websites is IllinoisHighSchoolGloryDays.com, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the backstory behind it. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to bring in the guy who's going to tell the backstory. Today is a significant day for the Illinois High School Glory Days website. It memorializes basically more than 1,200 defunct or closed high schools throughout Illinois. And back on February 5th of 2005, Dave Nanengay founded and created the Illinois High School Glory Days website. Dave, congratulations on this 20th anniversary. Did you think it would become this big? Holy smokes.
No. And, you know, thank you so much for having me on and for saying such nice things about the site. It's been a great ride. You know, it was started exactly on February 5th, 2005 is when it went live. I'll never forget. And, you know, it started with just 10 schools, I think. You know, I started with my little hometown of Mineral, the Mineral Leopards, and we worked our way in a circle. And before I knew it, it was growing and growing and growing. And it has now grown from, you know, that first school of Mineral all the way to 1,200 plus, you know, and I say unfortunately because these are closed high schools, but and the fortunate part is they're not being forgotten. They're being memorialized through, you know, the help of so many people and certainly through the help of those who attended these schools. It's really been a fun process, and I've never, not one day, not enjoyed working on it.
Why'd you do it? When you look back, you know, back in 2005.
Well, I kind of mentioned Mineral is my hometown. Mineral is a town of about 240 people. They had their own high school from the late 1800s until 1961 when it closed. And they closed the school down as a grade school. And then they closed that down in 1974. And all the kids now, including myself, went to Annawan and still continue to go to Annawan. But the heartbreak that town felt first when the high school closed and then when the school closed period and there was no more school in the town was very palpable. They really missed it. I was 12 years old at the time, and I'll never forget the sadness in my relatives' faces. So fast forward to 2004, and there was, I had always kept in my mind I just knew in my heart I was going to do something for them. But in 2004, Bureau County had a Hall of Fame induction ceremonies annually. And I was able to, with the help of Kevin Aronimus of Princeton, I was able to get six of the district championship teams from Mineral inducted. And on the day of the induction, Mineral is a town, like I said, of 245, but there was over 300 people there. Wearing their Kelly green and white Mineral Leopard shirts, you know, and cheering their hometown heroes on. And 21 of the 25 living members of the district championship teams showed up. And I just thought, if there's such a great thing, response from this one small town, it has to be something that would be considered throughout Illinois. So many small towns have lost their school. And when I saw the excitement from the alumni, you know, I went through process of thinking, can we get a building? Can we do this? Can we do that? And someone brought up, why don't you try the internet? And never had any experience. Just got on a website provider and started plucking away and, kept at it and added, some great people very early on. And if you don't mind, I'll mention sure. their names because they were so instrumental. Kev Varney, Cody Cutter, Roberta Van Briesen, Phil Shadid, Bo Thompson, the million card Cub guy, and the late Monsignor Sosaman. And then if you fast forward from that to 2022, we almost lost the website because our original provider stopped supporting us. So my daughters, Kay, Margie, and Annie all chipped in and were able to figure out how to transfer all that information, over 1,250 pages worth of information onto a new provider, and that's what's kept it going. But that's how we got our start, was back in Mineral in 2004 in Princeton. And boy, I could never have dreamed that it would have continued and been, reached the level of success that it has.
So I was going to tell people then, again, IllinoisHighSchoolGloryDays.com. The one thing I'll tell people, if you are involved in a service club or an organization and you want a presentation, I'm telling you, the guy you need to invite is Dave Nanengay, because I've been at these places where you've been invited to. And, most people I think around the state have come across the site, but those people that haven't, it always results in the same story, taking a deep dive into all of this information, because it's an interactive site where you're seeking contributions from people that have, attended those closed or defunct schools. And that's another reason I think the success of this site has grown so much, because people do want to contribute, don't they?
Yes. I get probably average of 2 or 3 emails a week from someone, and it can be anything as small as, hey, we did have a band or a chorus, and so I want to add that. And if it, maybe they had a favorite teacher, or a simple thing like that I may not have, which would be a season record for a team or for a certain year, or a coach's name, or any type of memory. Really, I really love, to be honest, is the memories that we are able to record of people that And I've had some come in that weren't so positive, and I'm just going to be honest. I don't put those up because, you never know the whole story, but I put the memories in there and the people that made it special for the individual person or the school. And I think that adds to the history of the town and why the town was so proud to have what they had when their school was going.
Are you surprised by the success and the reaction? And you just look at, like, let's talk numbers, right? Math don't lie. They say 10 million page views over 20 years. On average, 115 people visit the site each day, with about 400 pages being viewed. You surprised by those numbers?
Yes. And when you first start out, I would say the first 50,000 out of the first 100,000 were me. I was constantly trying to check myself, but I never would have dreamed that. And I've always said from day one when I started the site, I didn't care if all 50,000 were me. I was that interested in this subject that I was going to keep it going because I just enjoyed it. And I've been very fortunate over the years to find out that so many others have as well. And the one thing I get from alumni, especially as they get older, is appreciation that their school is not being forgotten and that it was a very important part of history, especially in their lives. And that's the most gratifying part to me.
And I think the other great thing I really love about Dave is the road trips you make with your son, Johnny. I know the story, but tell our listening audience about your, I guess, basically, person that makes the road trips with you.
Yeah, well, my son Johnny is 35 years old. He's severely autistic. He doesn't speak. He's just a great traveling partner for me. He loves car rides, and it kind of is a good fit for both of us. You know, we both get to get out and go, and he puts up with me when I get, you know, whenever I see a little sign that says, you know, a small town that way, I hesitate and I go, no, I got to do it. So I make a right and I go down and I see a small town, and I kind of feel like he rolls his eyes a little bit, but you know, he loves listening to music, and that's what we listen to music on the way, 50s and old country and all kinds of stuff. But he's such a great traveling partner, and, you know, he's so patient, and boy, I love him to death, and we have a great time going to these things, and can't say enough positive things about the kid.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think, too, and I know I've talked to you a bunch over the 20 years of this website, because I love it so much, and because it's a labor of love for you, and it's easy to like talk to people who really genuinely enjoy what they're doing. And Dave doesn't make a king's ransom off of this. In fact, he makes nothing but enjoyment. That's his equity, I guess, in this. But I remember a couple of the times I've talked to you, and I think it's so funny that when you are traveling wherever, and you tried to make it to most parts of the state to take pictures or find some unique information. And I always say, you know, when you come into a small town and you see some guy stopped and he's got a camera out or he's got his phone out and he's taking pictures, those will spark, you know, pretty neat stories or conversations. I'm assuming you've had probably a lot of those over the years. What are you doing taking a picture of this old school? And who are you?
Yeah, I've had a couple times where, you know, one time was deserved because I did see the no trespassing sign, but I got so excited because the building was intact. And so I rushed up and took a couple pictures, and, you know, I was scolded. But I get that. He was 100% right. But once I have the moment to explain the purpose behind what I'm doing and to show, you know, my credentials there, the person would calm down. They ultimately calm down and say, hey, thank you. And if we do anything different with this, I'll let you know. And I end up, hopefully, you know, and so far anyway, I've turned them into fans of the site instead of remaining angry. But it's been such a great thing. You know, if you go, I just recently went to the eight-man football championship game. I love eight-man in Monmouth, and in November. And part of that was going early and taking a trip through Knox County. And, you know, we had stopped. There was a little place just north of Farmington. This is a classic story of people or of areas where you're just like, how? It was a little town. It was a little crossroads northeast of Farmington called Uniontown. And so it's not even really on the map. It just says Uniontown, and it leads you to a house. But in that area, I just drove around a little bit, and I see a rusty old swing set. And you know, I love the phrase when we were growing up, in the middle of nowhere, or you can't get there from here, you know. And this was literally in the middle of nowhere. It was called Uniontown High School. I got out, took some pictures. And then I made a trip down through London Mills and Fairview and had such a great time in Fairview. I stopped into the library, and there's two older ladies there. And we had such a great conversation about, and they showed me photos and of the old high school, and they had actually attended, and just wonderful, wonderful conversation. And then head over to Ellisville, or Ellis. What is the name of that town? Ellis, is it? Ellis? Anyway, and they had redone, it's one of those towns, again, in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And they had redone the whole downtown. A group of people had gotten together and refurbished a bunch of the buildings, and one of those was their opera house. And I went inside, I talked to them. They just happened to be in that day. We went upstairs. I'm going to put pictures up of that. Really phenomenal, phenomenal place. And it's fun to go to smaller towns like that, to take the time to talk to people. Take the time to just talk to people, just ask them questions, and you'll see after a few seconds their eyes light up, and they're so happy to talk to you about it, and they're so happy to have the opportunity to contribute, and I just enjoy it so much.
And I think, too, the art of storytelling, and That's what this, to me, is all about. And that's why people are interested. There's a story. There's many stories with these old schools. That's a big part of it for you, big part of it for you, because you can document these 1,200 schools, but there are multiple stories within those close schools. So, I mean, whether it be fight song, whether it be that one memorable season, whether it be that athlete, whatever the case may be. And that's, I know, the thing you probably really dig in all of this.
I do. And I apologize. I have to go back. It's Ellisville, if you've ever been.
I knew you would get that.
Yeah, it was driving me nuts because they were so nice to me. And, you know, but and the population of Ellisville is 87 people, but they had a high school back in the old days, and but a very great thing. And they were the home of the Eagles, by the way. And great, great town. And but yes, some of the best things I get memories, you know, of, you know, the game. And one thing I had to learn the hard way was when I first started the site, I never would put up if the record was 1-22, 2-21, whatever, because I always felt like I don't want to embarrass anybody, you know, and who am I to say, though, because I had a coach write to me and say, hey, you did, you know, we were 2-22 in 1973. And I said, yeah, coach, I'm trying not to be. And he said, let me tell you, those two wins meant more to our kids than anything, because we weren't supposed to win any games that year. And so I learned the hard way. It doesn't matter what I think of that record. Those kids who played on that team, those two wins meant a lot to them, you know. And so now I try to keep that going. And then I've also had coaches write and say, we weren't 9-12, we were 10-12. And when he also said, I know this sounds petty, but we hadn't won 10 games in 15 years, and the whole town celebrated because we won the 10 games. And, you know, so you never know what is important, you know, to people about their old high schools, and you trust them at that value. And, you know, if it was important to them and enough to write me, certainly it's important enough to put it on the site.
Celebrating 20 years of the Illinois High School Glory Days website on this February 5th of 2025. Our thanks to site founder Dave Nandengay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. And I highly encourage you to check out the site. It's and mostly encourage you to, if you go to the bottom of each page, you can have the email address where you can contact us. I would love to hear from you if you have any information, including photos or any of the things I've talked about. It doesn't have to be about sports. It's just sports is the easiest thing for us to research. But any information you have, especially memories, please send them into us, and we'll make sure we get them on the site. And thank you so much for your support over the past 20 years, Jim. It's been a great run.
So very happy that I came across Mr. Dave Nandengay 20 years ago, again, launching this great website called Illinois High School Glory Days.com. You're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo. And we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Jim, we're talking about postseason girls basketball. It's hard to believe that it's that time of the year. The girls kind of jump in first to the postseason tournament. And as you reminded me and kind of reminded yourself, little bit different format for the state tournament at ISU this year.
Yeah, we're drawing, of course, closer to postseason play with the seeds were announced Thursday, the pairings announced on Friday for girls basketball. We're a week away from boys basketball. But yeah, the new format for the four-class system this year in terms of how they're breaking up the weekend, all four classes play on the same weekend for girls basketball and then the following weekend for boys basketball. But this year, they're going to play all semifinals for 1A, 2A, and 3A on that Thursday session. So for the girls, that's March the 6th. And then Friday, they'll play the 1A third place game, so you get the opportunity to stay over. That's the big issue there. And then the 4A semifinals take place on Friday, and then they're playing the third place games for 2A and 3A on Friday night, and then they come back Saturday. They play the 4A third place game at 9:30 in the morning, and then the championship games commence at 1 o'clock on that Saturday session for the girls. That'll be Saturday, March the 8th, and then the following weekend is the boys basketball setup. But I think, you know, I like it a little bit earlier start. You know, we're accustomed to, you know, those 10 o'clock kickoffs for football on the Friday after Thanksgiving, but at 9:30 tip-off for the Thursday session of the 1A semifinals. I think that will be a little bit of an adjustment to get used to, but I kind of like the new format where they maybe stretch out a little bit more and, you know, give some schools to really have kind of a true two-day experience. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's nice to kind of have, you know, the extra day that you're assured of. You also can kind of make travel arrangements if you're a fan and kind of know that you'll be there for at least a couple of days. And yes, you know, volleyball seems like it gets a really early start in the state tournament. You're going to see that with girls basketball, and I'm guessing with boys basketball as well. And it's not ideal, but, you know, hey, I guess if you're up at 9:30, you might as well be playing for a state medal.
And I know back in the two-class system, the only unfortunate situation, now I'm speaking as it relates to boys basketball, in the glory days of when, you know, the attendance was at an unbelievable level where you had the separate state tournament weekends for 1A and 2A in the two-class system. And the one thing I heard back in those days that the coaches really appreciated is those teams got a practice on the assembly hall floor at least once before the state tournament games are played. Now, unfortunately, with the way the setup is and with college basketball in control and the university needing the facility, that's one thing I think is still missing from the state tournament, at least on the boys' side, where they really don't get an opportunity to have a practice at the State Farm Center before the games begin. I don't know if there's ever a way you could do that because, you know, the tournament starts on a Thursday, so it'd be tough to bring those teams, you know, any earlier in the week. But that's the only thing I see as something that, you know, I, like I said, I don't know how it could be alleviated, but I'd like to see maybe those teams get that opportunity.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that's part of the experience, and that's what this is all about. It's not necessarily about winning those medals. That's what you're there for, obviously, but you want to build some lifetime memories, and not only for the players and the coaches, but for the officials and the fans as well.
All right. The only other thing I wanted to say about the calendar I was looking at today, and I just cannot believe this, because we really haven't had a winter in much of Illinois. I mean, there's been few minor systems here and there. But I see 3 weeks from Monday, that's March the 3rd, is the first official day of baseball practice and softball practice. And then just 2 weeks later, so we're 5 weeks away from the first baseball and softball games that can be scheduled on Monday, March the 17th. And we've talked about it before, you know, is it too early? That's a long-ranging conversation. But I feel a little bit bad here because we've had, you know, not a lot of winter so far. And the one thing that worries me, eventually Mother Nature is going to rear its ugly head, right? And then it's probably going to happen in late February, early March. Hopefully that's not the case, Brian Roush, because, like I said, it's been such a tame winter so far, and you'd like to see those spring sports get as many days as possible early in the season.
Yeah, I agree, and we talked kind of in prepping for the interview. You know, it seems like the spring sports almost always get the short end of things because of the weather. If it starts out nice, it gets rainy in the midst of it. If it's, you know, snowy and there's no access to the fields, you know, then you get that late start too. And I kind of feel bad, and I think anyone living here in Illinois and throughout the Midwest, when looking at this mild winter, we said, we're going to get paid. We're going to get paid back with interest.
Play ball on March the 13th with baseball and softball. But, of course, winter sports at the height now with girls regional basketball right around the corner. We know the individual boys wrestling regionals taking place this weekend. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Toledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands of the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
Well, the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. We wind it down. We have high school basketball in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, as it'll be the Rock Ridge Rockets. They're in action taking on the Rock Island Rocks at the Rock Garden. I was thinking about that game. So we had Dave Nanengay on, Illinois High School Glory Days. Dave Nanengay told me the story. I did not know this. Arguably the greatest player in Rock Island Rock history is the legendary Don Nelson, who, of course, played for the Boston Celtics, longtime NBA coach, was a great Iowa Hawkeye player. He actually was born and went to school initially in Cable, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
Don Nelson did. And I learned that story from Dave Nanengay. So that's the kind of information you have. So when everybody says that Don Nelson is a Rock Island Rock, well, we know Cable is in the Sherrard School District now, so he should have been a Sherrard Tiger, but he wasn't. But anyway, that's
too
a true
bad.
Story. But that's what I look at, like, when we talk about history and thinking about that today and bringing it all together. So, so the Illini are in action today against the Gophers in Williams Arena, but that'll be preempted because of our high school sports coverage.
They need a win tonight, the Illini do. Oh, my Lord.
And then next week, what's the schedule next week? Do you know
that? So Monday, Mercer County Sherrard girls.
Oh, man.
Tuesday, Sherrard Kewaunee boys.
Okay. Is that game over at the Boilermaker or that Sherrard?
Brockman Gym.
Oh, yeah. Good. I love – that's a great venue.
They got they got brand new scoreboards. It's really nice in there this year. I've seen some pictures. Friday will be Rockridge Orion boys. I don't believe we have a game on Thursday.
So one of my favorite stories about Brockman Gym, quickly as we wind down here.
And then next Saturday we have Rockridge Warrensburg Latham boys at Riverton, and then Rockridge Mercer County girls in the regional quarterfinal that night.
And Warrensburg Latham, what's their pedigree this year? Are they in the heart of the Illinois Conference?
Four losses, so they're pretty good.
They're 1A or 2A?
They're 2A.
Okay.
So, yeah, that should be a good game. There's a lot of good teams down in Riverton next week. So,
what was I saying? I can't remember what I was.
I don't remember either. But one more other thing real quick. Next week, Sports Sign will be at 8 a.m.
Leading into Bid for Bargains.
Yeah, so we have our Bid for Bargains radio auction starting at 9, so we get preempted, I guess. So we're going to start at 8 next week. So if you tune in at 9 and hear people talking about Benny's Pizza and Happy Joe's.
Call in.
Yeah, call in.
Tab Ballmer normally calls us.
You'll be hearing us at 8. From 8 to 9 next week. A programming note. 8 to 9, and if we're not off by 9, we'll probably get shot with a gun. So.
All right, so appreciate Dave Nanengay today, and as Ty mentioned, he'll be up at Rock Island High School tonight for Rock Ridge and Rocky, and then again Sports London, as he mentioned, 8 o'clock next Saturday morning. Anything else to mention as we wind down here?
No, it was just a wild week. I mean, with all the weird results there were, like you touched on earlier, the Mercer County girls losing to Orion and then beating Riverdale, Mercer County boys upsetting Rock Ridge, just a really strange week, but it was a fun week too. And then Sherrard winning the Track West and girls basketball with a really nice win against Monmouth Roseville at home on Thursday night. So yeah, fun week. It was a lot to talk about today.
Oh, the quick Brockman Gym. I was going to tell you a story about that. Jay Bizarre was coaching at Orion, and they were playing in the sectional at Kewaunee against Galva back in the day in the one class system. And Galva had a huge following. Orion had a huge following. And I'll never forget, like, the Kewaunee PA announcer basically violating all, like, fire rules, saying, hey, we need to squeeze in closer together because we need about 500 more people to get into the gym for this game tonight. So that was Orion and Galva back in the mid-1990s at the Brockman Gym. But that's a great old venue because the band plays in the balcony in that gym. Atop the one basket. But anyway, we'll have that on later this week. So from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in downtown Toledo, for Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor saying good morning, everyone, on the WMJ Sports Line.
This has been Sports Line on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Toledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.